Greetings. In this segment, we're going to cover wine appreciation basics. Moderate consumption of wine can add to our quality of life by enriching us physically, emotionally, and making food taste better. Wine's purpose is to give us pleasure. In this segment, we learn how to maximize enjoyment of wine by taking a few tips from the pros. Professional wine buyers in restaurants and wine shops evaluate wine by breaking it down into its appearance, aromatics, and palate. Then they put it back together again. They don't have any special gifts, just a lot of experience. All that's required is powers of concentration, experience, and a desire to learn more about wine. Professionals spit out wine because swallowing it means ingestion of alcohol. Alcohol affects our judgment and thus our ability to best make the decisions about which wines to buy. Decisions about spending thousands of dollars should not be made by people with a buzz. Professionals use a tasting sheet with space for comments and a wine scoring system. Non-professionals should use the same approach whether they're considering spending $10,000 to add to their cellars or just shopping for an inexpensive wine for everyday drinking. We now come to the nub of the matter. Wine evaluation, or tasting, is not the same as wine drinking. Wine evaluation involves dissecting wine, tasting it out of context, under bright lights, without food, and then, horrors, spitting it out. Wine drinking is more leisurely, usually with food. Though the wines may be discussed, they aren't likely to be graded, and they're not spit out. Professionals typically taste wines blind, which doesn't mean blindfolded. Just means the identities of the wines are kept secret, so tasters can't measure the wines up against preconceptions based on price, producer, packaging, etc. First, we look at the color. Using large, clear glasses in a well-lit room, we tilt the glasses so we can look at the color through a white background. Why do we look at the color, and what are we looking for? Well, wine has a vast range of lovely colors worth appreciating on their own. But also, color tells us if the wine is young or old, lighter or fuller bodied, and more. A young white table wine, for instance, almost always should have a pale green or greenish straw yellow color. If a white wine shows a deep yellow color, this may be a sign the wine has aged prematurely and lacks the freshness we would expect. Many young red table wines have a purplish color, so if the wine shows a tawny or brick color, it's likely the wine has been compromised either by its production in the winery or storage after release to the market. At several points in this section, I'm going to use a wine speak term, and when I do, and the term will flash over there. You'll find these terms very useful in the course of making yourself a better wine taster. Next, we nose the wine. This is a very important step because scientists who specialize in sensory evaluation tell us most of what we taste is really more about what we smell. Our nose can distinguish among thousands of scents, but our palate is said to be only able to taste sweet, salt, sour, and bitterness. We nose wines first by swirling the wine, spinning the glass, which can take some practice. Uncomfortable with this motion? Start on a flat surface, then lift off, and you'll get the hang of it quickly. This mixes the wine with air and releases its aromatics. This is where concentration comes into the picture. Tune out everything else, sort of a Zen thing, and try to describe the aromatics. Keeping the wine aroma wheel handy helps. If you like, get yourself a bottle of the same wine I'm tasting, the Borsau 2000 from Spain, and do try this at home. So I see a medium ruby red color, a little bit purplish, which is the correct color for a young red wine. Big nose, rich, ripe fruits, really pure. I'm getting no oak in this wine, just an absolutely appetizing, delicious nose. I can't wait to try this wine. So first we evaluate the wine's quantity of aromatics. That is there a big nose or bouquet, or is the wine somewhat muted? The next part is more difficult. What does the wine smell like? Qualitatively, this is one of the wonderful things about wines. There's just a range of so many fruits, even vegetables, herbs, flowers, even meaty aromas, damp earth after a rainfall. other foods like coffee and tea, and much, much more. There are no right answers. We all perceive something different, and we're all right. So I'm getting lots of no's, a big no's, or forward no's in wine speak, really an upfront, in-your-face no's. All kinds of fruits here, cherries, raspberries, black and red, plums, very fresh, very clean. Sometimes wines are dirty smelling, and that's a flaw, but this Bourçais is very light, lively, and bright. I just can't wait to taste it. But before we taste, one more thing. We evaluate both nose and palate for simplicity versus complexity. In other words, some wines give us many different layers of flavors, and others are more straightforward. Wines with complexity, along with other qualities we'll get to soon, have what it takes to make the leap from ordinary fine wines to greatness. I would characterize this wine as straightforward and somewhat simple, though none the worse for it. Oh, let's taste it. No, no, no. We don't just gulp it down. That's wine drinking, and we're evaluating wine here. We take our time, we take a sip, we roll it around our mouth, we do the wine slurp. The wine slurp involves spreading the wine out to all areas of the mouth to further aerate the wine, and because different tastes tend to be perceived in different places. To keep our minds clear, we would use the spit cup. We're not done yet. The wine is gone, but can we still taste it? Does it have staying power? This is called length or aftertaste. I call it getting our money's worth, because even though I no longer have any wine in my mouth, I can still taste it. Or maybe I can't. When the wine disappears, we say it's short, as opposed to, you guessed it, long. To me, the Bourçais shows medium body, as opposed to light or full body. On the palate, it's got rich, concentrated, fresh, berry, plummy fruit, just like its nose. It's low in tannin, has moderate acidity, very nice balance, that is, nothing sticks out, no biting acidity or chalky tannin, or anything else. It's seamless. I love this wine, which, by the way, is an absolute steal at $6 or less. More basic wine terms. Wine balance is putting back together the sum of the component parts, the gestalt. There's no right answers here. Each of us decides whether the acidity, that is to say the tartness, the sourness, the bite we can liken to lemon juice, harmonizes with the fruit. Too little and wine loses its refreshing quality. Too much and it bites us back. Most of the time we drink wine with food, and that acidity will cleanse the mouth and enable us to enjoy our food more. Imagine rich, fatty, prime rib beef, sorry vegetarians, with a red wine with a bit of acidity. The wine will brush away that fattiness instead of letting it build up in the mouth, making the next bite of beef taste even better. And this sounds a lot better to me than pairing that meat with coffee, milk, soft drinks. Yuck. Here again, the difference between tasting and drinking comes into focus. Wines that seem too acidic or tannic without food may be just right with it. Tannin is actually another form of acidity. Naturally present in wine, it's more a texture than a flavor. Tannin is rarely present in white wines. In white winemaking, the skins, the seeds, the stems are almost always immediately separated from the just-pressed juice. Reds are another story. The skins, the seeds, and the stems may spend days, if not weeks, in contact with the fermenting juice. So some of these can be very tannic, and others hardly at all. Tannin helps red wines age well, providing structure. The Bourçais is very low in tannin. It was made that way, since this wine is meant to be drunk when released and not aged. The Bourçais has moderate length and good balance, though it's on the softer side since it lacks those tannins. I love this wine. It's so fruity it would be delicious by itself, even chilled a little bit. Wines usually drunk absent food are white or sparkling. A couple of more terms. Horizontal versus vertical tastings. No, the difference isn't that we start out wine tasting in one position and end up in another. Horizontal tastings are encountered more often. They refer to wines across a single vintage, such as the 1990 Red Bordeaux. Vertical tastings are the same wine, say the Robert Mondavi Winery Cabernet Sauvignon Reserve, from several vintages. Either way, the idea is to taste apples with apples, so the wines are flighted or grouped with peers. The moral of the story is, taste wine like the pros to better appreciate it and make better decisions about buying it. Next, we delve deeper into wine's components and quality factors.